My name is Steve Hart, and welcome to episode 98 of the New Zealand Property Report for week ending Friday, 29th of June, 2018. Okay, well, the big news right now is that the official cash rate in New Zealand is to remain at 1.75%. However, the Reserve Bank says they're well positioned to manage a change in either direction, up or down as necessary, which to me speaks volumes. That tells me we are possibly on the merest hint of a recession in New Zealand. It was predicted 2 years ago we would have a recession in New Zealand in 2018. It hasn't really happened yet, but boy, some of the signs are there. It's very quiet across many markets in New Zealand. And the fact now that the Reserve Bank is hedging its bets by keeping the OCR at 1.75 and saying it could go up or it could go down, it's very interesting. They say the Reserve Bank's outlook says that the New Zealand economy, as detailed in its May monetary policy statement, remains intact. That's pretty vague anyway. Employment is around its sustainable levels, they say. And the consumer price index for inflation remains low. That's below the 2% midpoint of the Reserve Bank's target, necessitating, they say, continued supportive monetary policy for some time to come. The Reserve Bank also says that global economic growth is expected to support demand for our products and services. What's that, milk and wood? Global inflationary pressure, they say, is also expected to be higher but remain modest. There's nowhere, I can't think of anywhere, that's firing on all four cylinders at the moment. The Reserve Bank also say that domestically ongoing spending and investment by both households and governments is expected to support growth. Well, you'd expect the government to be supporting growth. They're meant to be building 100,000 houses over 10 years, so that's some pretty good growth. However, the Reserve Bank says the weaker GDP outturn implies marginally more spare capacity in the economy than we anticipated. That tells me they're thinking unemployment will rise. They say the government's projected spending impulse is also slightly lower and later than anticipated. Yeah, I mean, the Labour Party came in great guns. We're going to do this, that and the other. They haven't done anything yet. CPI inflation is likely to increase, say, the Reserve Bank in the near term due to higher fuel prices. But it's low, 1.75%. It's been historically low now for a couple of years. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. If it goes down, that will be a huge indicator that New Zealand is in economic trouble. We'll wait for the next monetary OCR announcement from the Reserve Bank in a couple of months' time. Now, Labour has moved from wanting a total ban on foreign buyers of real estate, something it was saying pre-election, to something akin to business as usual now that they're elected to run New Zealand. Among those exempt from the watered-down ban due to become law 1 July are buyers from Australia, which you can kind of understand, and Singapore, which is a real strange one. In addition, foreigners will be able to buy up to 60% of any new complex of more than 20 units or 20 apartments, so long as they rent them to people who are unrelated parties. Good luck enforcing that condition. Is someone going to go and knock on the door and say, hey, we see you're renting this property. Do you know the owner? So who is going to check and take responsibility for ensuring the owner doesn't rent it to their partner and then cohabit? Is the rental agent going to do this? I doubt it. At one point, Labour said foreigners buying off the plan would have to sell the property once it was built. Well, now they can rent it out, or even worse, leave it vacant. What the government's change of heart means is that foreign students, for example, can buy a property on behalf of anyone who's prepared to fund the purchase, but the purchaser won't be able to occupy the property. Again, good luck enforcing that one. What all this means is that there will likely be more foreign landlords, and if Singapore can obtain an exemption to the ban, the foreign buyer ownership ban, then other countries can apply for one too. I mean, who's going to say no to the UK, for example? Over to the ANZ Bank now, and economists there suggest that rents will rise as government policies dampen house price inflation. In short, because house price inflation is down to single digits, the risk of buying an investment property rises. The economists write in this week's economic report from the ANZ Bank, the foreign buyer restriction combined with other proposed policies may make capital gains look less assured or investment look more risky, you think? They carry on to say that investors may seek to offset this by charging higher rents. They add that demand to live in a house is relatively inelastic compared to the demand to buy a house, and this means that increasing costs can flow through into rents relatively easily, i.e. if you need to rent a house, well, you're going to need to rent a house, and you'll cut your food bill or your power bill or any other luxury items you might want to pay the rent, because landlords are in a very, very strong position given the huge shortage of available housing across New Zealand, but particularly acute issues in Auckland City, as you know. Now, the economists at ANZ say, indeed, it is possible this is already happening in advance of policy changes, with rental inflation having increased through late 2017. They say, and I quote, "The increase in rental inflation in Auckland and recent tick-ups in rental yields suggests the current environment is conducive to rent increases." And if you're renting a home in Auckland, well, you've probably already had your rent go up this year once already, I would say, at a guess. Now, house price inflation has slowed again in the last few months, say the economists at Westpac, with Auckland prices falling thanks to an array of government policies we've outlined in this podcast and previous. The economists at Westpac are forecasting house prices to essentially remain flat over the next few years. As for construction activity, they say capacity constraints and access to finance continues to present a challenge to the building industry. Isn't it funny how economists who work for a bank, Westpac in this case, tell us that there's access to finance is an issue, and it's their bank likely that is one of those issues. Now, the annual Rotorua Home and Lifestyle Show, sponsored by OneRoof.co.nz, is returning to the Energy Event Centre in July. That's July 13 to 15, a show not to be missed. The show will have a range of exhibitors with everything from kitchens and flooring to new cars, spa pools and furniture. Not sure what new cars has got to do with it's home and lifestyle. All right, you can have your cars. The show runs from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Entry will be $5. That's the One Roof Rotorua Home and Lifestyle Show, July 13 to 15 at the Energy Events Centre. Landlords who are prepared to furnish their properties will earn more if they rent them than if they had empty homes bereft of furniture. According to Barford and Thompson, Central Auckland properties in particular see the highest demand for furnished properties, most likely due to new arrivals arriving in Auckland and wanting somewhere to live and sleep and sit and a television and a kettle until their own container ship arrives with their personal belongings. According to figures supplied by Barford and Thompson, a fully furnished one-bed home will earn $65 a week more in rent than a similar-sized unfurnished property, and a three-bed furnished home will bring in an extra $135 more per week. The most popular furnished rentals at the branch are, because this is the CBD branch, the most popular furnished rentals at the branch are one-bed properties, with a quarter of all its one-bed rentals being furnished. But then you add up the cost of furnishing, say, a one-bed apartment, so beds, settee, chairs, tables, cutlery, microwave, kettle, cooker, washing machine, dishwasher, tumble dryer, more likely. You're quickly up to $7,000. So you've got to work out $65 a week. How long will that take to get back your $7,000 for equipping the home? And then you've got to take in maintenance and replacing the gear as well. You can kind of see why people prefer not to get involved. It's empty. It's all yours. If you want to put a dishwasher in, good luck to you. All right, that just about wraps up this edition of the Property Report with me, Steve Hart. But before I go, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher and TuneIn. And do give us a great review if you can. Give us 5 stars. That would be super. If you have any questions about buying or owning real estate in New Zealand, I may not be able to answer them myself, but I'll be happy to find someone who can. So just let us know your real estate questions. And that's it. Hope you have a great week. See you next time.